From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Chita Strasburg on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail.
Good afternoon, WVON family, and thank you for sharing a part of your Sunday with us. Yes, I know God is able, and he won't fail if you just believe in him. Accept his love, accept his guidance, and let him use you all over and over again. Use me, Lord. When your back is up against the wall, God already has a solution. Hello, I'm Chinta Strasburg, producer and host of On the Case, and my co-host is Kent Hunley, publisher of the 316 magazine. That's where I'm editor-in-chief. This is WVON 1690 AM, The Talk and the Top of Chicago. And your questions and comments are always welcome. Please call us at 773-591-1690. Yes, God is able. On the Case is sponsored by prestigious law firm of Antonio Romanucci and Blandin. If your civil rights have been violated, call 312-458-1000. Again, that's 312-458-1000. The Antonio Romanucci and Blandin Law Firm often partners with the acclaimed attorney Ben Crump, the famous criminal defense lawyer. And guess what? They win. This program is dedicated to Father Michael Lewis Flager, Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, and Dr. Jacqueline Jackson, two men who continue to fight for us on many levels, even when they are sick or being held captive by the cardinal. They still fought for us, and they always will. Reverend Jackson and Father Flager never give up, and Mrs. Jackson, who recently overcame a miracle, she is COVID-19 free. Both of them are. Praise God, and I echo her words, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God is able. God is able. Jonathan Jackson has an update for us about his mom, whom he loves so much. Let's hear what he says from the Rainbow Push Coalition broadcast played yesterday.
I'm Jonathan Jackson. I serve as a national spokesperson for the Rainbow Push Coalition, the proud middle son of Reverend Jesse Jackson. I am honored and pleased and thankful to God that my mother has returned home. She is out of the hospital. She is convalescing and regaining her strength. She has her humor back. She has some things to make clear that she's been gone for 2 weeks, and she is so grateful to God. She shouts hallelujah almost every 10th word that comes out of her mouth. She says she's a changed woman from the person that went in there to the person that's come out. She's grateful for hospital workers and CNAs and doctors and persons that have given her assistance and have shown her kindness. Her prayers go out to all of those that have been infected and affected by this dreadful disease. It's real. My father is gaining strength. He has taken occupational therapy. Look forward to his return coming home soon. I was sitting in the hospital room with him just the other day, and it was surreal. I couldn't believe while he and I were talking, I was changing channels, and I see all these people in crowds at football games and baseball games, and I'm scratching my head like, is this real? I'm like, wow. In the words of the director of the World Health Organization, he says people are sick of the COVID, but COVID is not sick of the people. People are still dying in record numbers. Please take this seriously. Please follow the protocols. Please mask up and stay a safe distance. COVID is real. We see it surging in Georgia, surging in Texas. We see it surging amongst a younger population. I would encourage you, please get vaccinated. But I'd also like to thank you for your sustained prayers and all of those prayer warriors. I can tell you one thing. I don't know what all the complications are with COVID, and I don't know all the science that took place to bring them back, but I'm better. on prayer. I know I am a witness on the power of prayers. I've felt them. I've seen them. And thankful to God that we've received them. And we're praying for your family as fervently as you prayed for ours. And let us pray for those that don't know the power of prayer, because prayer has healed my parents and brought them through. I look forward to them seeing you sometime soon, right here back at Rainbow Push.
Thank you so much, Jay, for playing that. Funeral services were held Thursday, September the 9th, for Susie Suzuki Allen, the mother-in-law of my sister, Lena Allen. She was 95 years old. Her daughter, Virginia E. Allen, died 2 days later. Susie Suzuki Allen was born in Japan. She married Mac H. Allen, who preceded her in death. Please pray for my family. After nearly 20 years as pastor of historic Quinn Chapel African American Episcopal Church, Reverend James Moody is retiring and will be preaching his final sermon, 10 a.m. on Sunday, September the 19th. The Chicago Crusader has exclusively learned. Quinn's former pastor, Bishop Gregory G. M. Ingram, will be preaching at the 10 a.m. worship service on Sunday, September the 12th. And parents of 4-year-old Mikhail Mutri Jr. are asking those who know who killed their son to speak up and speak out. Give them peace. They want justice and peace. Angela Gregg, the mother of MJ, as they call the little child, and the father, Michael Moultrie Sr., are pleading that the killers turn themselves in, or if someone knows who killed their baby, to please call the police. His son was shot while his father was braiding his hair in a Woodlawn apartment. Okay, we have so many shootings, I'm not even going to go into that. We have on the live line Dr. Zenobia Sowell and Dr. Mildred Harris and several members of a new prayer group. It is called God's First Global Generals and Intercessors. Dr. Harris, Dr. Sowell, welcome
yes.
to On the Case.
Well, praise God. So happy to be one of your invited guests today. Yes, I'm Dr. Mildred Harris, and I'm the founder and CEO of God First Global Generals and Intercessors, Releasing Exploits. This is a new endeavor that God has given unto me, and I just want to share that the vision is to go into all the world, winning souls for the kingdom of God by bridging the gap through intercession and training. Now, the intercessors will be equipped with the word and dunamis power of God, thereby demonstrating signs, miracles, and wonders, and ultimately causing and engaging in worldwide revival. And our mission for God First Global Generals and Intercessors mission is to develop teams of global generals and intercessors to use collaborative strategies and the word of God to pull down strongholds through intense intercession. And the fruit of our collaboration will ensure the advancement for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'd just like to say that I'm excited because the Word of God says we should pray without ceasing. And I have several generals who are going to be joining me. And at this time, I'd like to introduce to you our very own Dr. Zenobia Sowell, who is one of our generals. And we have others, but I just want to mention her name. And others will be joining us: Tamara Hughes, Wanda Jackson, Renee Jacob, Andrea Johnson, Eunice Wade, and Shirley Doss Williams. So, Dr. Sowell, if you would just go ahead and speak.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Zenobia Sowell, and I am a dentist by profession. I am very much involved in what I do as a dentist, but that's only a part of my life. I'm actually a servant of God in the health and healing ministry and arena. And although I've been practicing almost 33 years, to be exact, I am who I am because of God's grace and mercy and blessing and favor. I've been privileged to serve and minister here in my own community in the Gold Coast of Chicago. Also practiced in Hyde Park in the past. But I've served in countries such as Africa, India, Haiti, Trinidad, India, Jamaica, Israel, Italy, and London, and it's been an experience that I wouldn't trade for anything. Places that I never, maybe I did dream of, but places that I saw myself blessed to be in and be able to not only do volunteer work in the area of dentistry, but also to share the gospel And so it's just been a blessing in my life, and I'm very, very thankful for it and for this opportunity to share that information.
And you're also a pastor.
Forward.
You're also a pastor, right? And your husband?
Yes. Pastor of Bethel Mennonite Church on the west side of Chicago.
Yes. Okay.
Well, Shanta, I'd just like to share, too. I'm so happy that Dr. Sowell was sharing her global experience because, for me, this is Dr. Harris again. I'd just like to say that God has sent me to all the continents of the world to go on prayer journeys so that I would be familiar with different cultures as we come together collaboratively in a collaborative effort to pray for not only our city, our nation, but the world. And so it is going to be an exciting time for us because this is a sanctuary city. I'm talking about Chicago. It's a sanctuary city with so many different cultures of people, and we just want to be able to meet and pray for our city, the nation, and the world, that God can bring back his glory through us as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others and to bring them into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, Shanta, I don't know if some of the other ladies are on the line or not, but I just want to say that we are so excited about this endeavor. And we just want others to know that they, too, can join us. And if they'd like to reach us and get more information, they can reach me at the P.O. Box. That's God First Ministries, P.O. Box 490-293, Chicago, 60649. And my phone number is 773-667-5200. Be ever so happy to serve the people who are interested in prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's doors. Prayer is the key that gives you power. Prayer is the one that gives you the power to overcome and overtake that which Satan has tried to steal from us. And we just want you and others to know that we are praying for this city. And even as we heard Reverend Jackson's son praying, talking about his father and wife, we are praying for them because we're called to pray for leaders. The Word of God said, I exhort the first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for those in authority, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceful life. Mm-hmm. That is our responsibility. So we praise and thank God for having called us. He has chosen us to stand in the gap for others. And we are praying also for WVON. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And also for you,
okay.
China.
All right. Okay.
Chinta.
Hold on a second. We will take Miss Eunice. Miss Eunice, you're on the case.
Good news to
Dr.
you and
Harris.
Ken and your guests. You know, Chinta, I don't understand this. Let me start over. God bless the Jacksons and Father Flager. And, you know, I don't understand the Trump Senior and Junior. Now, they are so disrespectful. They had some boxing event while others were commemorating 9/11. He is an ex-president, and you would think he would take pause at some point. And he was acting president and a noted liar. So he's only for himself. And he's lying about the California election. He is saying they are printing extra ballots. They mail everyone a ballot. And at some point, you get a grip on it and stop the lying. But I guess he's not that type person. And Fox also is going around lying, saying things that are not true. And thank you for taking my call, Chinta.
You're welcome. I think, Ms. Eunice, you should know that Trump is he's possessed by the devil. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the case with Dr. Harris.
Okay. I just wonder, was that Eunice Wade on the line?
Yes.
No, ma'am.
Okay, I didn't think that was Eunice. I wondered who that was. Okay, well, God bless you, and thank you for sharing that information with us.
Thank you.
Okay, Renee is on the line now.
And also, Kent, my co-host, is on the line. Sorry, Kent.
I am. Good afternoon. And my condolences to you, Shanta, and your family on your loss.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Jim.
I have Renee Jacob.
Hello?
Jim, you're on the line with Dr. Harris. Jim?
Hello. Now, there was a Dr. Sowell. Was that her name? The dentist?
That's my dentist.
Dr. Sowell.
Yeah.
Okay. Sowell. Well, when I was first out of dental school, I did some volunteer relief work in Honduras for several years in a row just to help people out there. And it's a good experience to do that. It really sharpens up your skills. And nothing like taking out teeth without the value of an x-ray.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. But anyway,
oh,
I appreciate In fact, at one time, you and I were both dentists that were supporting Chinta. I still support her, but I don't, you know. Well, anyways, that's a long story. Anyways, you talked before about the crime in Chicago. Are you familiar with the case of 7-year-old girl Serenity Broughton that was killed and her sister Aubrey was injured by a bullet?
I did hear that.
Okay, well, now there's criticism because the headline, this is not Fox, this is Channel 7 Eyewitness News saying Cook County State's Attorney Office criticized for not filing charges in the murder of a 7-year-old girl. Now, you have Kim Fox, you have all these other district attorneys in all these urban areas run by Democrats that are allowing crime to flourish. You know, in places like San Francisco, they're closing down stores because thievery is on the loose and people cannot have
and
a store during the stolen.
And I suppose you're saying that only Democrats steal, please.
Well, I didn't say only Democrats
steal.
Why are these things going on?
Jim knows run by Kim Fox. He had a president in office. All he did was steal and give his friends money.
Jim,
oh, yo, come on.
Thank you for your call, Jim. I'm not going to let you do this.
Right, that's the truth.
Let's go to Darva. Darva, you're on the case with Dr. Harrison, Dr. Sowell.
Good morning, women.
I believe some of the other global intercessors are on the line and
waiting.
I think they're waiting to just tell briefly about themselves.
Okay. Darva, hold on.
So what do you want me to do?
Hold on, Darva.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Praise God. This is Pastor Tamora Walls Hughes, and I'm also with the God First Global Generals and Intercessors, and excited about what the Lord has given Mother Harris as we move forward in prayer, because definitely this is a time that we need to pray even the more. And so I'm excited about that and glad that God has given her this opportunity. Now I will pass this on to Pastor Eunice Waite.
Hi, I'm Pastor Eunice Waite, a member of Christ Family Life Center, and I am also excited that God has given Dr. Harris's vision to have us to go forth and to pray not only for cities and states, but countries. And so we just give God praise for allowing us to be able to be under her leadership and her tutelage to be able to do great exploits for God and for the purpose that He's given us. So I'll pass it now on to Prophetess Renee Jacob.
Well, praise God. We just thank the Lord for what He's doing right now. God is raising up a remnant that's going to take authority in the realm of the Spirit. And so we're honored to be a part of the vision of Dr. Harris to get more ways of strategizing and compelling and taking the authority in the realm of the Spirit to produce. So God, generals are arising and the intercessors are being strategically positioned for such a time as this.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Amen. God bless everyone. My name is Pastor Shorty Dawes Williams. I operate out of the Fivefold Ministry, and I'm one of the voices behind God First Global Generals and Intercessors that's releasing exploits. Our visionary CEO, as you know, is Dr. Mildred C. Harris. It's a season that the voices of women around the globe is being released, bringing unity to the body of Christ, that will bring revival to our city, that will bring revival in the earth. And know that through this sound of intercession, you will see signs, wonders, and miracles through the power of prayer. And I give it back. I give the mic.
Andrea.
Thank you.
She's not available.
Well, we just thank God for what He's doing, because we know that prayer is the thing that we need more of. Having that relationship with God. What is prayer? It's letting our petitions be made known to God. And then we have to listen so that we can hear what God would speak to us. So I just want to thank you, Chinta, for allowing us to come on to just briefly share with you and the radio audience the fact that Chicago now is going to be invaded with God First Global Generals and Intercessors. Exactly. And so if you want to join us, we say, come on, let's build this army. Marcirillo used to say, it's time to build an army, and it is time for us to get out here and do what we know what we need to do is we put on the whole arm of God, and we're going to fight these principalities, and we're going to fight because we have the victory already. Yeah. We pray from victory. We have the victory because we are overcomers, and therefore we are brave and we are bold and we can endure hard things. We've been trained to do just that. And we just want to reach back to our millennials and to train them and to help them so that we can join together to build this army for the Lord. God bless you. And remember, prayer is key. Pray without ceasing. And I want to end with my favorite prayer. It's called, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. But now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think." Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be WBON. Blessed be Chinta Sosper. And blessed be Ken Hurley. We thank God for you. And God bless all of you is our prayer.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sowell. Thank you, Dr. Harris. And thank you, all of your intercessors. Thank you so much. We need prayer in this city. Pray that
yes,
this killing will stop. Thank you. Darva, are you still there?
Yes, I am. So, yes, I am.
Darva? Oh, boy.
So Darva, you still with us?
Okay, she's going to call back.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a minute before we go to our next guest, Brother Hall. Brother Hall, you're on the case.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kent, and good afternoon, Tinta. And you have my condolences. Oh, pretty good. You have my condolences as well,
Thank you.
Tinta.
Thank you.
As you know, Tinta, I did my practice. I have a doctorate under the Viaduct of the City of Chicago, where most of the dry bones of our people are.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged when I hear ministers coming together to try to work and do the work on the ground level. So I want to salute those ones that you just had on. But I want to encourage other pastors. We must step up to the plate as one. You know, we understand how people are protective of their flock, but we must circle the wagons now because we are in these crises. You're right, the killings, the COVID crisis. You know, we just, at this point, and I, you know, I just really, really have to say this. At this point, our house is on fire. And I ask for black folk to step up and do what you can do. Whatever it is, we have people that's up under these viaducts that's not been vaccinated. Very, very little services from the city, state, or federal. And I think we need to pay close attention to that issue because, after all, it could very well, most of us, or not all, but most of us are one operation from being right where they are. So I thought I'd share that today, and I'll hang up. And thank you so much for giving me the time, sweetie.
Thank you so much, Brother Hall. On the Case is sponsored by the prestigious law firm of Antonio Romanucci and Blandin. If your civil rights have been violated, do give them a call at 312-458-1000. That's 312-458-1000. Okay, and so Pastor Witherspoon and Jean and Pam, I will be with you very shortly. We have on the live line Antonio Romanucci and Blandin from that law firm. They often partner with Ben Crump, the famous criminal defense. And we're talking about, the federal court has approved a class action lawsuit filed by the Romanucci and Blandin law firm against the Chicago Police Department in this controversial stop and frisk policy that affects black and brown, mostly men. And what Attorney Romanucci said in a press conference that he held, he said, this will be a violence reducer. So, again, the federal court ruled that the Chicago Police Department unconstitutionally conducted a stop-and-frisk policy that affected more than 2 million mostly black and Hispanic men, and that the scope of this practice is, quote, staggering. That's according to Attorney Romanucci. Attorney Romanucci, welcome to On the Case, and thank you for supporting our show.
Oh, thank you, Chinta. Nice talking to you again.
Thank you. So, why did you filed this about, what, 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, the lawsuit was filed in April of 2015, and it's taken this long to, you know, wade through the, you know, court process of discovery and depositions and briefings to get the opinion that we so sought after all this time.
Wow. Okay, and so what is the goal, the purpose and what is the goal of this lawsuit?
Well, first of all, the purpose of the lawsuit has a very sound legal basis, and that's that, you know, that the court is ordering the city of Chicago that its training policies with respect to how they stop and frisk citizens, especially citizens of color, because this is a disparate percentage of black and Hispanic citizens that have been stopped and frisked, that it reform its training, that it do something about it so that their stop and frisk policy is constitutional as opposed to unconstitutional. I think the second part of it is the message that it sends, Chinta, and that's that, you know, the city of Chicago has had, you know, I've always said it's not even a decades-long culture. It's been a century or more where they have been targeting people who are black and more recently those who are Hispanic as really victims as opposed to people that should be arrested for the real crimes that are being committed.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the line and see what our Pastor Witherspoon, you are talking to Attorney Antonio Romanucci. Pastor Witherspoon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. You hear me?
Yes, I hear you, sir.
Yeah, I just thank God for those ancestors that called in on the line and then what God is doing. See, only I've been knowing Dr. Mitchell had at least about 30 years, and she's strategic, trained up prayer warrior, ancestors that know how to get in, how to go in and annihilate the devil. A lot of times we've been praying simple prayer, basic prayer, but it's a war going on. And we get to arm ourselves with the word of God and hit the end with the word. Word, line upon line, precept on precept. So I have to be a part of this ancestor, this move across the world, the first in Chicago. Okay. Everybody's talking about prayer now. They know the only thing going to solve this situation in Chicago is prayer. We can't see these people when these people going to kill one another. We praying that God sharpen their discernment. The gun won't even shoot. They block the gun. It won't shoot. That's the power of prayer. So many testimony we done heard, it's good to shoot the gun won't even go off. That's power. That's a miracle right there. So you keep the good work up, stay on the wall, and I thank God for Prophet Dalba Walter, a friend of mine. She's also prayer warrior also. So just keep the work up, intercessor, and Brother Hall. Keep the work up. God bless you.
Thank you so much, God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Witherspoon. The more than 2 million stop and frisk stops were performed without a reasonable and articulable suspicion that a crime had been committed, or one that there was one likely being committed, and that's according to Attorney Romanucci. How do these policemen get off doing this? I mean, they've been doing it for a long time, but how did they get away with it for so long?
Yeah, they've been getting away with it for so long because the city of Chicago in this particular case has allowed it to happen. What we call this is ratified behavior. Once you do something that's either, in this case, unconstitutional, or even in a more simple case, if you keep doing something wrong, but nobody comes back and either tells you how to do it right or disciplines you for continuing to do it in a wrong manner, you're going to continue to perform this bad behavior. And in this case, we're talking about unconstitutional stops. See, what's supposed to happen is that in 1968, the United States Supreme Court said that if a police officer has a reasonable, articulable suspicion, and we'll come back to those two very important words, that either a crime has been committed or is going to be committed, he has or she has the right to stop that person, frisk that person for their own safety, ask questions, and then release that person immediately if that person under questioning either did not commit a crime or is not going to. And reasonable is an objective standard, which means that it has to be applied, you know, across the board. Articulable means that it has to be very clearly stated that before the stop, remember, before the stop, you have to have a basis for the stop. You can't stop somebody and then ask questions and then, for example, maybe find a dime bag on that person and then arrest. That is a bad stop. That is an unconstitutional stop. And it's unconstitutional if there is no arrest, clearly. And what we're saying in those 2 million stops that the City of Chicago Police Department conducted over a six-year period, not one of those, zero out of 2 million, wound up as an arrest. None. Then, so now you understand the scope and magnitude of this.
I do. It sounds to me that, when they do stop you in Chicago, the City of Chicago, that they're doing it backwards. Like you mentioned, they'll stop an individual for a dime bag. Okay, that's what I was thinking. And my other question was, most of the stops, are they mainly happening in the high crime areas, or is it just all over the city?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I'm not saying that 2 million stops is an insignificant number. It's a very big number. So if you were hypothetically to spread 2 million stops over 6 years over every ward or over every police district in the City of Chicago, you know, then, you know, you'll get some numbers that might make sense. But that's not the case. I can't tell you the exact percentage right now, but I believe the number is between 80 and 90% of the stops happened within five police districts. And you can guess which ones they are. They're all on the ones on the west side and the south side and the far right. South side. They're in the commonly known, you know, high crime areas. And if you saw the numbers that we produced at the press conference last week, they're absolutely shocking. There were 2,000 stops per day on average over this period of time. 2,000 per day. It turned out to be like two stops per minute, I believe was the number. It's just mind-numbing when you think about all those stops in such a concentrated area of our city. And that's why I keep saying, and we all know the answer to this, that's why there's such mistrust between the community and the police, because of these catch-and-release unconstitutional stops.
Absolutely. You had said at the press conference that 2 million stops represented nearly 2,000 a day, 1.3 every minute without cause, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Jean. Jean, you are on the case talking to Attorney Romanucci, Antonio Romanucci.
Hi, Chinta.
Hi.
First of all, my condolences to you.
Thank you.
And I wish a speedy recovery for the country preacher, Reverend Jackson, and his wife.
Thank you.
Captain Hard Time. And, Miss Chinta, do you know anything about Catholic Charities clothing?
No, I haven't heard that. And I think Pastor Father Flager would have mentioned that. I haven't heard that. I'll look into it, though.
Yeah, well, they supposed to close as of November. All of the agencies are closing down. I called Father Flager's office yesterday and asked him to call me, but I haven't heard from him.
I'll reach out.
But they are closing, and I want Father Flager to look into that and give me a call.
All right. Leave your number with Jay, and I will call Pastor tonight, okay?
Oh, okay. Is he on the line?
No. No. I'll call him tonight, though, and talk to him, okay?
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot.
Hold on and give your number to Jay, okay?
All right. We need that help. Right. And they said they have a deficit. I don't see them having no deficit, because they merged the schools.
Well, maybe it was because a lot of people boycotted them for giving money because of what they did to Father Flager. That's just my personal opinion. Hold on, we'll get your number. Let's go to Pam. Pam, you're on the case with Attorney Antonio Romanucci.
Good afternoon to you both. Chinta, certainly you're in our thoughts and prayers, your family.
Thank you.
I'm thankful for Reverend Jackson, Mrs. Jackson, and hopefully everybody can recover, from COVID-19. And I'm a believer in getting vaccinated and wearing masks. So I'm saying to people, do both, social distance, and still continue to wash your hands frequently. First, let me just state this. Regarding State's Attorney Fox and the family of Little Serenity, let me just state that certainly my condolence to them. But please, I trust Kim Fox that she didn't want to bring charges against someone who did not commit these crimes. For too long, to both of you, we've had State's Attorneys, Alvarez, Devine, I mean, just name them, who have any old black person will do, as long as they get someone in office. And we know many of these investigators aren't doing the real work to bring down the solvency rate. So I trust Kim Fox on this. I don't think she's just letting someone go free if the evidence isn't there. So that's my position. As it relates to law enforcement, we have a complete breakdown. They're on lockdown now. And please do not believe the lie that there are not people cooperating. Chinta, there are, and Kent, I'm sorry, there are people cooperating, providing information to officers about drug houses, other activities, shootings, but there's no reply. There's no response. And I think that is a story that has to be covered. As for those unlawful stops with the stop and frisk, I will guarantee you that when you look in the communities, white communities, Northside in the Loop area, those victims that were stopped, they're black. I will just be willing to bet that you will find that the majority of those drivers are black who were stopped and frisked in those areas.
I agree with you, Pam. I agree 100% with you. I wouldn't bet you on that one. I wouldn't bet against you.
Okay.
Sure. So I just wanted to say that, but also Brother Hall is right. We have to look at what's going on with our homeless population, Chinta, and we have to do more. I'm going to ask Chinta, and you can speak to this as well as, and I've discussed this with Father Flay, at least put a phone call into him about this. We've got to get the Catholic Church to do more to work with these racist officers on the force, because they go to church on Sunday and they're in our communities Monday through Saturday. We have to call on other clergy, of other groups, to do more about their criminality, just like we're asked to do more about the crimes that occur within the black community. It is criminal what officers are doing. And right now they're under the leadership of Captain Zaro, who I feel is a racist. And they're standing down. Chinta, there are people cooperating, not getting a response.
I believe that. I've talked to mothers who lost children, and detectives don't call them back for a year sometimes.
Right. So I'm just saying, we want the right perpetrators arrested.
Right.
We don't, any old black man, any old black person won't do. And so I'm just saying, I think that's where a state's attorney, Kim Fox, I think that's where she is. And if the evidence looks suspicious, I think she's just calling it out.
Okay.
And that's just my personal opinion. So I thank you all.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay, let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on the line with Attorney Antonio Romanucci.
Hey, good afternoon, y'all. This was a great topic. You know, I agree with everything Pam just said, especially about Kim Fox. But I'm going to zero in on this stop and frisk game, okay? Especially when you look at the fact how black people were the ones who tore Joe Biden's arm and signed the crime bill back in the day, and look what it got us. You know what I'm saying? The close spiritual people, I commend you, and I do think we need a Christ touch on this in regards to our community, because I'm pretty sure they're going to point out areas like Pulaski and Madison, Pulaski and Jackson, Cicero, and over there, Harrison, on up to Madison. Listen, there's something we need to understand, people. You know what I'm saying? We need to understand that black people got the right to hang out in their community like anyone else. You ever see a cops over there bother them? Someone may be over there. I go to your area all the time as I go shopping. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's no person out there with a bag full of rocks commit suicide to sell. Heroin or methamphetamine. What you may see over there, because I've been through there, you may see someone with, you know, a couple of bags of marijuana. You know what I'm saying? They want a willing deal. You know something? Guess what, people? Yes, they're as harmless as the Hispanics in their community selling their tacos, their burritos, their cups of corn, their candy, Mexican stuff, those things over there. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a legal product. Marijuana is a legal product, people. Other people hang out in their community, no problem. Their parks, no problem. But black people hanging out in our community, you see what I'm saying? Oh, they must be sitting in jail. We stigmatized. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So let's do it with that umbrella right there, people. You know what I'm saying? They got the right to hang out like anyone else. And you want to send cops over there harassing them, bothering them, when that's taking them away from being someplace where they can catch a shooter. You see what I'm saying? Or someone just gunned down the place. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Tells you off. That's the point I'm trying to make. Give our people a break.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm with you, Frank.
Thank you so much for your comment. A pot is legal, all right, but unless you get caught on your job and you fail the urine test, because it's legal. You can buy it, but if you get caught on your job, you're going to lose your job. Mama D, you are talking to Attorney Romanucci and Blanda.
Well, how are you? Greetings, everybody.
Hello.
You know, it's written in the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with brass-colored feet to match his brass-colored face, that some things come only through fasting and praying. So I hope that the fasting will be added on to the praying as we tackle this spirit of violence that we are being confronted with. But, you know, I remember a few years ago, the Supreme Court found that the loitering laws were unconstitutional, and most likely they're going to find that this stop and frisk is unconstitutional. But what I want to know is, instead of the mayor dealing with the crimes against the humanity, the unsolved cops crimes against humanity, instead of her dealing with that, I understand that she wants to sue so-called gangbangers and stigmatize our young people, and it calls them to be scapegoated for these police cop crimes that are unresolved. How can you be bringing back this gang database, which at the end of the day is just a publicity media stunt to say, oh, these children deserve what they get because they were gangbangers. We've been there, and we have done that. So what can we do to stop the mayor from doing what the Kerner Report said in 1967, that segregation and poverty causes violence, and Chicago is still one of the most segregated cities in America. Instead of her providing jobs and things to deal with that, she's bringing in other groups and talking about she's going to scapegoat and sue so-called gangbangers. What can we do to stop her from doing that?
Okay, Mama G, thanks for your call. Attorney Romanucci, you wanna deal with that or what?
Yeah, I have a little bit of an answer for the caller. I'm sorry I didn't catch the name. But very interestingly, Mama D, in the judge's decision in which she talked about the 2 million people who had their rights unconstitutionally violated, those 2 million people were found to have their rights violated under the Fourth Amendment. However, she also found that we were correct in pointing out that of the about 60,000 people that were stopped unconstitutionally as a result of gang loitering also deserved their own class action case, too. So Mama D is right. The gang loitering statute was found unconstitutional a number of years ago, but the City of Chicago Police continued to use it and did use it in violation of people's rights. So what they would do, let's say they were cruising in their car down 70th Avenue, and they saw three black kids on a street corner. What they would do is they would approach them, they would stop and frisk them, and then issue a contact card saying that they were gang loiterers. Well, guess what? People who are innocent are forever branded as being a gang loiterer, and that's the basis that they would use. And those are the people that, the judge found also deserve their own class, their own separate class action case.
Well, thank God you had a good judge. I know one judge is not good, and one of these days I'll talk to you about that particular judge. Lisa, you're talking to Attorney Romanucci, Antonio Romanucci.
And attorney, my question is, why is it so hard to get these bad cops and detectives off the force, you know, since they have no accountability for doing their jobs?
Hello?
We have Lisa on, Kent.
Hello?
Lisa, you're
Lisa,
on?
Lisa, you're on the case.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Hey, I want to thank this attorney for his language. He's excellent in his presentation. He is stating clear that this happened to mostly black people. He's stating clear that just because you came out your house and wanted to be on the corner, that is not criminal. He is saying that the police got to find something else to do with their time, that 8-hour day, other than criminalize black folk who have come outside to catch air or to do them. And so I want to thank him for being so deliberate in his in telling us over and over again that this happened to mostly black people. It probably happened in mostly so-called black neighborhoods, and that it is criminal to tell a person that you cannot come outside and walk the street without me saying, I got 8 hours to kill, and this is what I'm going to do. And so I'm not a person who's in favor of crime, but I'm a person who is in favor of a lawyer deliberately telling us what happened and what is going on and standing for those to rectify it. The last thing I want to know is, can you tell us the judge's name? And I hope that this opens the eyes for some of our black people, because some of them feel that people can't just, you know, come outside. Our own people are doing damage with some of the thoughts that they project on other black people, too. And so thank you, Mr. Romanucci, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, and on the case is sponsored by the prestigious law firm of Antonio Romanucci in Blandon. And if your civil rights have been violated, please call them at 312-458-1000. Now, my next guest is not here, so I'm hoping you can stay on just for a couple more minutes. And it should have been Carolyn Day. She is executive director of the Black United Funds for Illinois, and she's hosting a bike ride in South Shore on September 25th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the goal is cooperative economics, otherwise known as UJAMA. And maybe we'll be on next week. I don't know what happened to her, but I'm glad we still have on Attorney Antonio Romanucci. Now, Attorney...
Happy to stay on.
Thank you. So you had mentioned in the press conference that these stops and frisks conducted against students are more likely to struggle in school, and young men are more likely to experience symptoms of anxiety and depression. You want to comment on that?
I do, and we did have one of our class members present at the press conference, Rashawn Lindsay,
yes.
A fine young man. He was a student at Whitney Young High School, and pretty much he was kind of like literally almost a poster child for the wrongs that have been happening with regard to stop and frisk. He was 18 years old at the time. He and a couple of friends were hanging out on a street corner. And this is Rashawn, never a criminal record, no criminal history, no arrest, no convictions, nothing. Just absolutely model student. And he was stopped. He was stopped. And his contact card now is forever brandished, showing him to be a gang loiterer, that's why he was stopped. And when Rashawn commented at the press conference, he says he felt embarrassed by it. He wanted to run and hide from it, and this is the sort of effect that stop and frisk has on an entire community, not just one person, because Rashawn has friends, and his friends have been stopped, and his friends talk about it, and Rashawn talks about it. And that's why it becomes a very systemic problem. It's not just, oh, come on, Tony, somebody gets stopped for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes, maybe tops 5 minutes, and you're going to tell me that's going to cause psychological harm. No, it's community harm is what it does. That's what's resulted in black flight. The middle class blacks have left Chicago. They've either moved to the suburbs, they've moved to other counties in Illinois, or they just leave Illinois, period. Even though the city of Chicago's population has grown in Chicago, it hasn't grown where stop and frisk has been committed. The population has grown in the neighborhoods that we hear about on the news for all the wrong reasons or the right reasons. The Gold Coast, River North, Streeterville, Wicker Park, Bucktown, Lincoln Park. Do you see the pattern?
Yes, yes. And it's unfair, and it has to stop, and I don't know if it will ever stop.
Right. Right. Well, and that's why we're reaching out to Mayor Lightfoot. We literally want an olive branch with Mayor Lightfoot and her administration, because she can fix this. She didn't start this policy. She did not start this policy, but she can certainly end it. And that's what we're hoping that her administration will cooperate with us, and that we can find a very significant, reasonable solution to this disparate policing.
Thank you so much, Attorney Antonio Romanucci. Thank you so much for being on the case. And I'm hoping that your case will ultimately win. You got a victory, but you haven't quite won the war.
So you are correct. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you all for listening to On the Case. That includes all of you. I don't know if I have time to read all the names. Miss Eunice, Jim, Kent, Darva, Brother Hall, Darva.